at night. Many a moon come and shine a light.
Welcome to Paris Cocktail Talk. I'm 52 Martinis, and I'm here to tell you what, where, how, and why to drink in the capital with a focus on French trends and ingredients. For this episode, I'm talking to brand ambassadors. Brand ambassadors are people who represent spirits brands, and they get out and they build relationships with the community at large and with the bartending community. And I would imagine from the outside, this job seems like one of those dream jobs. They're always out, they're having fun, they're in bars, they're meeting people. But my guess is there's probably some hidden challenges that we don't see so much from the outside. I imagine the job is part marketer, part psychologist, part event planner, and probably other parts that I don't even know about. So I sat down with a few to talk to them for this episode and get more of an idea about what they really do. I talked to Tim Ward of Monkey Shoulder, I talked to Guillaume Biziot of LVMH, and I talked to Joseph Biolotto of Bowls. Of course, I asked them about the sort of the daily routine as a brand ambassador, but we also talk about what they like to drink, where they like to go, and a few other things. Tim even gives us a little sort of a sneak peek at a possible prize they'll be giving out soon for a cocktail competition that's coming up that sounds pretty cool. So, make yourself a drink, sit down, relax, and get ready for some fun interviews. So I'm here at Steaking, which is a steak restaurant, not surprisingly, and I'm talking to Tim Ward. Tim Ward is, he represents Monkey Shoulder here in France. Before that, he was working at the Ritz as a bartender. And Tim's a pretty awesome guy. He's actually one of my favorite people in the industry, and everybody always has something nice to say about him. So now I'm just starting that off, so he'll say lots of nice things during the interview.
First is wonderful.
Oh, there you go. That's what I wanted to hear. So basically, we're talking about being a brand ambassador on this episode. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your role with Monkey Shoulder?
Yeah, sure. I mean, as far as the role goes, I do work for a brand, and is initially Monkey Shoulder that I'm representing and supporting, but I feel that I definitely try to support and represent the whole bar industry and making things better in any way I can, you know. So it's been like that from the start, and it's been building friends and relationships and taking things further and making improvements in the bar industry, and obviously trying to sell more Monkey Shoulder eventually, but you know, first it's about, you know, making sure that you have a good relationship with people, making sure that you know, you can make things better. You're doing something to improve service or improve quality of product or cocktails.
Okay. And just for the listeners, we are actually sitting here and we are drinking some cocktails that Tim has made for us. Yeah, so cheers. And maybe you can explain to them a little bit about what we're drinking, because it's kind of interesting.
Okay, as it's Mardi Gras, we've decided to have a fat-washed whiskey, which has been done by Yan, the bartender. It's fat-washed with Spanish beef, heavily aged, very mature beef, so very strong. We put it into like a simple old-fashioned with a homemade bitters by Yan, slightly orange-orientated, and it's garnished with a bit of Carpaccio from Austria, with Australian sea salt, and a little monkey zest as well.
Very good. And I can confirm that it's a very nice cocktail. So I want to talk about a little bit, like, is your actual title brand ambassador?
No, it's brand bad ambassador.
Oh, that's pretty good. I like that. I didn't know that. And I think some of the people listening, either they think, wow, that must be the most amazing job in the world, or they're like, what the hell is that? So is it the most amazing job in the world?
Well, I think any job can be the most amazing job in the world, and being a brand ambassador is certainly different to being a bartender. And I think being a bartender is an amazing job as well. And I miss being a bartender. Tonight I've been working at the staking and I've been doing a lot of service work and talking to customers, and you know, you miss that kind of stuff, being a brand ambassador. But you have a lot more communication with more people in the industry being a brand ambassador. So it's an amazing job, but so is being a bartender. And these are the two jobs that I know quite well now. It's been 5 years I've been working. This is the fifth year I've been working for Monkey Shoulder. And I think it's probably 10, 11 years bartending before that. So the only two real jobs on.
Very good.
I was a butcher for 5 years.
Oh, really? Yeah, so maybe there's a little tie-in now with this meat and fat washing.
Oh, yeah. I can still cut up a hind quarter of beef.
Ah, all right. What about chickens? I got a problem quartering my chickens. I might have to ask you for some advice.
Scissors. Try
scissors. Okay. I'll invest in some good kitchen scissors. All right. What are the challenges of being a brand ambassador?
You face a lot of challenges, I think, depending on what brand you work for. I think it can be challenging, for example, to work as a brand ambassador for an unknown spirit, or a brand ambassador for a product which is really well known. I think one of the challenges is just finding something which suits you as well, because it can be like when you work in a bar and maybe, you know, the bar doesn't suit you. Or, I think the same way as working for a brand. Sometimes, you know, people can work for a brand and it's not actually them that they're in. It's not true to them,
right,
what the brand represents. So I think Monkey Shoulder corresponds to me.
Very
but that's
good.
Probably why things are good.
Yeah. And for the listeners who don't know, Monkey Shoulder is a whiskey. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Monkey Shoulder?
Yeah, of course. Monkey Shoulder is a Speyside whiskey. It's a blended malt with three Speyside whiskeys from William Grant. Monkey Shoulder, it's an old term used by the workers who used to turn the barley by hand, and they'd have like a sore shoulder or an injury and have trouble walking and look kind of like monkeys. So it doesn't exist anymore, so it's kind of a mark of respect to the old workers. And it's a great scotch, easy to mix, and very versatile, not smoky.
Is it made more to mix with cocktails, or is it made more to sip straight, or is that a horrible question to ask a brand bad ambassador? It's supposed to all be
bad. It's not made for any particular reason. It was brought to life by the master distiller David Stewart, because this certain flavor kept coming back from all these different distilleries that he works with, and he said he has to do something with this flavour that keeps coming back to him from the barrels. It's 100% ex-bourbon barrels, and it's just this slightly vanilla, slightly toasted oak that comes from, you know, the bourbon whiskey, which has stayed in the barrels beforehand. And it's something which now has its own character and its own whiskey. You know, when he started making it, he didn't know whether people were going to enjoy it, but something which, a flavour profile which he has in the millions of whiskies that he's got in the three distilleries, that he's decided to create and have a brand that it is today.
Do you have a cocktail that you think is the best cocktail to make with Monkey Shoulder?
I'd say it would be the Malt Jockey, because we created a vermouth in cognac called the Malt Jockey Vermouth. So the Malt Jockey is kind of like a Manhattan. It's a style of Manhattan with a maraschino liqueur, a cherry liqueur, and a bar spoon of chocolate bitters. This is a cocktail created by Dean Callan, the global brand ambassador for Monkey Shoulder. And The recipe has cherry and chocolate, and I made a vermouth in collaboration with a Quintino Royale and Cognac, and they created a beautiful vermouth for me to sit in this cocktail. So the Malt Jockey would be the perfect cocktail.
With,
all right. Maybe a homemade bitters, which I've created as well, which I've got another barrel aging, so it should be ready next year to do some more chocolate beers.
All right.
To
so,
sit in this
well, now you're giving us this like really great idea, but it's this homemade bitters. So where can people try this?
You can just grab any chocolate bitters you can find, and grab any maraschino liqueur, or even Peter Herring or another cherry liqueur, because you just need a bar spoon, and choose a nice vermouth, and you'll find a good cocktail at the end. Stick on the Manhattan Fine Lines, and you know, choose Carpano Antica formula, choose Dolan, choose whatever you have in your house.
All right. So again, for the listeners, Tim does some really fun events. He's at a lot of cocktail spirits conferences. You see him out in the bars doing in the past you've done the Monkey Hour, where you're in different bars serving Monkey Shoulder cocktails. You've had the little room at Whiskey Live. Where do you get your inspiration for these? Is this something you come up with, or do you all talk about it back at the Monkey Shoulder headquarters?
Dean helps me a lot with his
ideas.
Yeah, I can
see where he might come up
Dean's
with some
ideas
stuff.
Are so crazy and amazing that and he has a lot of ideas as well, so I definitely Dean's has had some fantastic ideas over the years, and he's helped me to create the things we have created at Cocktail Spirits and different things. I have some ideas too, which do get carried out, like the Bartender Olympics, but that was a lot thanks to Joe Bowley as well. He got me started on that idea. It was an idea which was amazing, and it lasted a few years, and this year we're going to concentrate on a bartending competition which will be done in May.
So like a normal competition where people are making Monkey Shoulder cocktails?
It's not a normal competition. It's a competition where there's no one judging, no one giving their opinion. It's all measured. So all the rounds that we'll do about 5 or 6 rounds, they'll all be measured. And you won't be judged on somebody's opinion. It'll just be measured. So you can pour a shot. We're going to measure and make sure it's perfect. Can you tell us how much whiskey is in the bottle? We'll measure that. Table service. We'll test if you can remember where the drinks go on the table. We also have 100 questions, quick fire round, and tasting. So it's stuff you can test, and the prize is going to be amazing as well.
Now I'm totally curious. Okay. Amazing, like a trip to Hawaii?
No, amazing, like $20,000.
Is that really the prize?
No, it could be the prize. What the final prize will possibly be, because it's still under wraps, is going to be a pop-up bar for 2 weeks in Paris.
Awesome. And are you sure? Is this like not secret information? Are you sure you want to be sharing this?
It's secret, but it's fine.
It's going up. It's going live.
I can
20
share.
People might listen to this.
If it's 20 bartenders, it'll be good.
Okay.
But the eventual prize will be a 2-week pop-up bar where the bartender keeps all the take-ins.
That's
so imagine
very
how
cool.
Much you can take in 2 weeks. Could be like $20,000. Possibilities to win $20,000. Hopefully it'll be in like a really nice area where there's lots of traffic.
Yeah.
We done the same competition in the UK last year, and the guys won about £16,000.
Nice. Where? What location was it?
It was in Covent Garden. During London Cocktail Week.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go.
But, we're going to try and choose somewhere nice.
I like it. I think that pretty much covers everything. Usually I do work off questions, but you know, it's just nice to sit here and have a chat with you. I usually finish up the interviews asking people to tell me, one, is there a bar that you think deserves a little shout out? Maybe a favorite bar, or I know it's hard as brand ambassador to say one is better than the other, but where do you like to go? A bar that you think deserves a little, like, hey, people should go here more often.
Well, we sponsored Persiflor for the Paris Cocktail Week, which was really nice. It's a great little down-to-earth bar, and Mika's great behind the bar, and it's a little bit out of the way. It's, you know, if you're in Pigalle, normally you'll be around Rue Rochereau or somewhere.
You'll be in the Bermuda Triangle
so,
of bars.
Yeah, why not just go a little bit off the a beaten track and stroll up to Persiflor?
Yeah. It's nice up there. For the listeners, I was just saying to Tim that I quite enjoyed the cocktail they had up there for Paris Cocktail Week because it was the only hot cocktail out of, I think, 100 cocktails on offer.
With butter as well.
With butter. It was very good.
But I managed to have three on the trot, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was very good. And what's your favorite cocktail?
At Persiflor?
No, in general, just your favorite cocktail.
The Malt Jockey.
Oh, there you go, okay. Easy, and it comes back full circle.
I would say that one we're drinking is quite nice as well.
I think it's very nice too. Thank you for making that lovely cocktail, and thank you for taking some time to talk to me about it.
It's a pleasure, Forrest.
All right, see you soon.
See you soon.
So I'm here at the Lockwood, which is a bar, a coffee shop, a restaurant, and I'm talking to Guillaume Biziot, and we're going to talk to him a little bit about his role as brand ambassador. Guillaume was a bartender before at a bar called Jeffrey's, and then he took on this role with LVMH, and we're going to ask him a few questions about that. Thanks, Guillaume, for taking the time to talk to me.
My pleasure.
So first of all, I always start off with something simple. Can you sum up the Paris cocktail scene for me in three words?
Yeah, sure. Firstly, I will begin with the community, because bartenders is firstly a community. So now Paris, it's a big, big community, mostly in Paris, but it's growing in the rest of the state of France. Looking for perfection, innovation in general, and it's probably one of the world's best bar scene with New York, London and Berlin. It's Paris is now, since 4 or 5 years, a bar scene.
Very good. I like that. I hear a lot of community when I ask this question. A lot of people say community, and I like that because I feel the same way. I feel like it's a nice, tight community at the moment. So
yeah, totally.
That's great. So can you tell us a little bit about your role as a brand ambassador?
For sure. Mostly it's training. So with bartenders, with owners, sometimes with directly with spirits, and some of the times with consulting for bars. Some bars ask us to redevelop the bars, redevelop the organization global of the service, of the way to make a cocktail, so we can help them in this way. So training, prospection, when some commercial don't have the contact with the bartender, we can just come with our social social way and knowledge with bartenders, because as you said, bartenders is a community. So as we are before bartenders, we know a lot of persons commercial don't have, so we can make a contact between them. So it's prospection, it's a masterclass with bartenders or developer, all other users that can be guest bartending, like you can I did two before, so Experimental Cocktail Club with Arbeg and the Baton Rouge with Glenmorangie, NSE and Arbeg. So this is good for image, mostly image. Brand development, so glasses, tools, ritual, service ritual, whatever house just ask us to develop the brand in general. And we can... one of the best way to be a brand ambassador is influence, as you say, for Instagram, but not only, but influence in Facebook and social media in general. House loves that because it's an image. It's a big. It's like a big publicity for bartenders.
Right.
Because it's not marketing. It's a real life.
Right. So part of your role isn't just your job responsibilities, but it's actually being a person who has good taste, who does good things, and people want to know what you're doing, and they want to. You're a social influencer. Is it different working for? So you work for a luxury house. Is that different, do you think, than being a brand ambassador for other spirits that are kind of coming from a different angle?
It's quite different because I used to work in hotels before, and after I met Jeffrey's, so two different different mentality, different clients, and different way it works. But the world of brand ambassador is very different because it's just back the industry, so it's not like commercial, but usually, and you have to make business with your friends, and it's very interesting, and personally and professionally. Personally, because you don't used to work until 3 a.m. in the morning. You have your weekend. This is a very different choice of life, and I love that. And after, it's just different. You have to be more. You have to make business with your friends. So you have to be. You have to keep an equilibrium between these two parts.
Right. Is it hard? I mean, I feel like I spend a lot of time in worlds where I'm doing things professionally with people and then doing things socially. Do you find it hard to balance sort of friendship with business?
At the beginning, it's quite difficult, but at the end, a lot of people understand your work, and you begin to understand how to take people, how to speak to them, and this is better for everybody. And at the beginning, it's quite difficult, but when you are with good commercial, good company, good manager, it's better for you to grow in your job and be better in your role.
Okay. Now you touched on this a little bit.
Yeah.
But when you're being a brand ambassador, is your main target for building these relationships, is it the general public? Is it the bar community? Is it other users like restaurants, distributors? Who's your main audience, I guess?
For my job, it depends on different job of brand ambassador. Some brand ambassadors are brand ambassador and commercial. Some are only brand ambassador for all markets like cavist, palace, restaurants, brasserie, and users. And some like me, like mostly of ambassadors, are only in the social with bartenders and owners.
Okay.
And for my part of job, because my spirits, so it's mostly luxury spirits, so it's mostly for very good cocktails bars and hotels.
Okay.
So like the restaurants, cavists, it's not mass market.
Okay.
So it's a disco, it's a language difference between the spirits. You have to communicate, and the person that are behind the bar.
Okay. We did talk about this, just touched on it.
Yeah.
But so you're really active in Instagram. I follow you on Instagram.
Yeah.
You take a lot of pictures. So my question was, is that a personal passion or part of your role? But it sounds like it's really both, because as you were saying, you need to be an influencer.
Exactly.
And
It's my passion. It's for me. It's totally personal.
Okay.
After I love my job, so my passion, my Instagram accounts go is for me, but sometimes I just post some photo of spirits. I love it.
Yeah.
Bars. It's because I want it.
Do you want to share your Instagram name right now?
Yeah, so for sure. Yeah.
What
it's my name, Guillaume Bizio.
Okay, and we'll put those in the show notes too, in case anybody wants to start following Guillaume. He puts up some pretty amazing pictures. For you, what's the best part about being a brand ambassador?
As I said, it's to have the capacity to go to very good place, good cocktail bars, good hotels, travel a lot because I make all the friends. So I go in the Trois Vallées, Courchevel. I go sometimes in Saint-Tropez, Monaco. So it's a good place.
Sounds very jet set. I like it.
Yeah. And so we met a lot of interesting person. We can share a lot of things, and this is very good for us to just break the life of Paris sometimes and just go ahead and meet different person, different mentality, and it's very just good. Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
And on the flip side, what's the biggest challenge? I imagine it's not all roses and bar visits. There's probably got to be challenges to it as well. So tell us about that.
The biggest difficulty in my job, yeah. As we say, it's just make business sometimes with good friends. Who are sometimes sceptic to make business or to just to help you when you need them. You have to keep the balance between that. So this is quite difficult. After it's to develop a brand, because today there are too much brand and too much good marketing. It depends of the big company, but the marketing are often very good. And so a lot of people have got a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
So we have just to make sure to make something different and not develop a glasses, because you have to develop a glass. You have to develop something different, something innovative.
Mm-hmm.
And that the bartender will use it long time.
Yeah.
Not develop something because you have money and this is a year to develop something.
Right. Now, when you develop things, so at each of the brands that you work with, do they have a marketing department or development department that you work with, or do you come up with these ideas on your own? I mean, I assume you work in conjunction with other people and departments.
It's both. In France, so the group, Moët & Hennessy,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes each brand have an house in the world. Like Belvedere got an house in London.
Mm-hmm.
Glenmorangie and Ardbeg got an house in Scotland. NSC got an house in Cognac. And each house just asked to the marketing of LVMH to develop something if they need it. But sometimes it's directly the house who develops something and give to marketing and say, we have developed something. Now it's your part of job. You have to communicate and make sure all these glasses and stuff go to bartenders. Yeah. So sometimes it's like that, and sometimes it's the market or me. We just share. We just have discussion and say, okay, we think now they are needed. They are big things to create, jigger or bar spoon, whatever. And we can talk about that and say, okay, we had 2,000 euros, we don't know. Okay, we can create something for bartenders. But it's depend of the year, it depend of the mission, it depend of the strategy of the brands, because it's mostly like that.
Mm-hmm.
Some strategy of brands are better this year, so we have to. We can give more money for these brands, and some maybe in 2 years the brands will not in the big strategy, so we will not use money for them.
Okay. And I didn't really give you a chance to say. Do you want to mention the four brands that you work with under LVMH?
Sorry.
Do you want to mention the four brands that you work with?
Yeah, exactly.
You work with Belvedere, Glenmorangie, Ardbeg,
and Hennessy.
And Hennessy.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So if the listeners want to try any of these things, or they think, oh, I haven't experienced one of those, what do you recommend to them? Just go to the shops and buy some? Go to a particular bar?
If you go to a shop, you don't really... You can buy all the stuff, because sometimes we don't sell to the big shop.
Okay.
So it's better to go directly to the bar. After, it depends on the market. Like Belvedere NC are mostly present in palace hotels,
okay,
because it's a prestigious market, and Glenmorangie Ardbeg are mostly present in cocktail bars.
Okay.
After it's different, like Cherry Bird have good Ardbegs, experimental also, After if you go to Bristol, the Parkayat, there's a big selection of all our spirits.
Okay.
So it's very good. But for me, it's better to go to the bar because you can have a training. The bartender is there to be sure you will have the spirits for you.
Okay.
And this is important because in a cavist or in a shop, you will take your whiskey because you don't know, and
sure.
You will take maybe the less expensive because you don't know it. So for me, it's better to try it in a bar, in a restaurant, and ask the bartenders to make a choice for you. This is a good spirit for you.
Okay. And I'm just finishing up with something simple. What is your favorite cocktail?
I love the Ben Sandhurst. It's quite a new cocktail, but it's made from rye whiskey,
mm-hmm.
Noli Prat Tambré, with a splash of Cynar and Luxor d'Omelachino.
Sounds very good.
Straight up with a cherry maraschino, so
yeah.
It's quite sweet, but it's cool. Yeah,
okay.
Very nice cocktail.
Thank you very much, and
my
thanks
pleasure.
For taking the time to speak to me. And like I said, I'll put all the information for Guillaume and his products in the show notes, so you can check those out online if you want.
Heart is blazing blue, electric fire. Heart is blazing blue, electric fire.
So I'm here down at the bar Baton Rouge, which is one of the very popular bars in the Soapy area. And I'm talking to Joseph Bielato. And Joseph has been on the bar scene for a long time. I think the first time he made me a drink was years ago. Before, when I first met him, he was working at the Bar Le Forum, which is an historically important bar, which has recently closed, but from what I understand, will be reopening again in a new location, so that's very exciting. But Joseph left the Bar Le Forum before it closed to take on some other personal projects of his own. He has a bar now that we're in, the Baton Rouge, with his partner, with Julien Escou. And he's also an ambassador for Bulls. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about that. Thanks for taking some time to speak with me, Joseph.
You're welcome. My pleasure, always.
All right. I start off pretty simple. Can you sum up for me, in your opinion, the Paris cocktail scene in three words?
Three words, that's very few words for summing up this amazing Paris cocktail scene, but I say inventivity, craziness, and savoir-faire.
Very good. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your role as an ambassador? I think some people either don't know what that is when it comes to spirits ambassadors, or they think that must be the best job in the world. You must drink all the time. So maybe it's somewhere...
It's somewhere in between.
Yeah,
it's somewhere in between. I used to be a brand ambassador. I used to be full-time brand ambassador for Bulls last year. So I'm gonna mostly be talking about that. It's an amazing job. Being a brand ambassador is a great thing when you trust the brand you work for. I've been working as a brand ambassador for Bulls for 8 years now, so that's quite a lot. It's a very, very interesting job. It's very complete. Most of the actions you do as a brand ambassador are not commercial related. You don't sell anything. You're here to bring the image of the company you work for in front of the bartenders. You are here to explain what's the brand, what's the history of the brand, all the products you propose, etc., etc. That's a very tough and complicated job because you have to travel a lot. Some say it's very nice, you see a lot of cities and people and blah, 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 but that's very exhausting. When I remember that time in March 2 years ago, it was pretty complicated. I had to do something like 5 or 6 cities in a week.
Mm.
So it's pretty crazy. You get lost. You don't know where you are. You don't need. You absolutely have to make the connection to the station, etc., etc. So that's a pretty tough job. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and you've got the reports. That's
there's
worst.
There's always the paperwork.
Yeah,
right?
There's always some paperwork. So that's the worst thing ever. I think every brand ambassador can relate that the reports are the worst thing to do every month.
All right. And what made you decide to start working with Bols?
The global manager at that time, a French guy. We would think because it's a Dutch brand. I knew him for years because he was working for Absolute, the world program, which is now in our house in Sweden with Absolute, was one of his IDs. So that's a pretty cool job he's done there. He's been working for Bols for 10 years now, and he was looking for someone to relaunch the brand in France. It was more like an image work, more than a brand ambassador type of work. There's a lot of brand ambassador right now. They do a lot of trainings and stuff. I was still working at Le Forum, so and there was a lot of work going on. And he told me, okay, it's going to be a part-time brand ambassador thing. So I want you to work behind the stick all the time. I don't want you to move from your location. I want you to use the products, know the story, and talk about it to the bartenders who come to the bar, and blah, blah, blah. And I add some trainings as well, of course.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to tell me a little bit about the products that they have? I mean, I know there's a main...
Yeah.
That, yeah.
It's a pretty wide range because you've got the liquor range, which is pretty heavy because you've got 36 different perfume and going, because every year we try to release one to two perfumes. Apart from that, you've got the Genevers as mm-hmm. well, the Corinne vines, and you've got other products which belong to Bols. For example, you get Galliano, mm-hmm. Which is quite famous amongst bartenders. And you've got small brands like Artevelts, Bochma, you've got Damrak Gin as well in the US, very okay. famous in the US. But you've got all this constellation of brands, but the liqueurs and the Genevers are the most famous in the range.
Okay. do you want to just give us a really quick rundown for the listeners on what is a Geneva? Because I think that's still maybe not so understood outside of the cocktail world.
So, Geneva, really simple. You make a beer. You distillate it, you have a product called malt wine, a wine of malt, that you aromatized with a certain percentage of Geneva. That percentage of Geneva, 15%, 5%, or 51%, will define what type of Geneva you have. The one we released, Bols Geneva 1820, mm-hmm. based on the recipe of a book found, and the recipe is actually from 1820, is 51% Geneva and malt wine. And after that, it's natural spirit and etc. So that's the ancestor of the gin. The English people, they basically stole the recipe and made a low-quality Geneva, actually.
Uh-huh.
That's what it is, because they took the only natural spirit and aromatized it with Geneva, but it was malt wine at the very beginning. It's less tasty.
Gin is less tasty, you're saying,
than
Geneva. And how is Geneva usually consumed? I mean, I know that it can be mixed in cocktails. That's kind of where it came on my radar. But how is it generally consumed?
So you've got two. You got the real way to consume it is a schlup. It's a shot of Geneva
mm-hmm.
with a beer on the side.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Boilermaker, basically. Otherwise, you can, of course, mix it as a cocktail. And it really works with classic cocktails, like 1862 Bon Vivant cocktails from Jerry Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
He was using Holland gin. So it wasn't a more sugary gin, it was Geneva. So all the Collins, dry martinis, Martinez, etc., they really work with Geneva. But for the modern approach of it, you can try to use it as a rum. A Geneva sour, for example, is really close from a daiquiri in the tastes. That's pretty curious, but it really works.
Okay.
After that, you get different types of Geneva, for example, Korenwein, which has more corn vine in it. And you use it, you sip it usually. You sip it or you drink it on the rocks or out from the fridge and that's it.
Okay. Do you drink a lot of it?
Oh, yeah, unfortunately.
All right, very good. So from what I understand, there's some AOC in France for Geneva, right?
Mm.
So is it something that the French are generally familiar with or not? I mean, it's not something that I see people drinking a lot of on its own. So what's your take?
Yeah, in the north of France and Ardennes, yeah, there's a lot of consumption of Geneva.
Okay.
But they tend to be lighter Genevas, like 35 ABV.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's good quality Geneva, but you there's a lack of alcohol content from in my opinion.
Okay. What is the average, what's sort of the standard ABV for?
40, 42, 45 okay. sometimes. So 35 it's a bit weak. You don't have the strength to carry all the spices.
Okay. Back to being a brand ambassador. So what is the best perk of it?
Expenses? Yeah. You need to be wise and you need to be really careful about the expenses, especially if they're not unlimited, which is often the case. So you need to be sure that the expenses goes in the right bar, in the right pocket. Is it useful? Is it a good thing to spend your money here? But you always have to spend money in a bar. So.
Yeah.
What can I say that? Usually they're not limited expenses, especially for big companies. But you have to explain why you spend them.
We all have to spend our money wisely, no matter where it's coming from.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we all have to answer to somebody.
More wisely if it's not your money.
Okay. So what would you recommend for listeners who would like to try Geneva? Where would you tell them to go? What would you tell them to do?
They should try it as a sour, really. That's the most convenient cocktail to try if you want to try a new spirit. So I go with the Geneva, sour, or Collins, something refreshing with a bit of citrus, well-balanced. Otherwise, the Cup Stout, which is the shot of Geneva with a beer on the side. I think it's the best way to give it a try.
All right. Do you have those on the menu here now?
We can do them.
You can do them?
Yeah, we can do them. We got the glasses and everything, so...
All right. Good. Did you hear that, listeners? Come on down here if you want to check this out. And I will finish up by asking you, what is your favorite cocktail?
Tough one.
I know. Unless you're me.
Right now, I'm going to say it's a bit windy and rainy. I need some. I'll go with a hurricane to brighten up the day.
I think that sounds like a good answer. All right. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to me. And I will be trying to get myself back down here soon to maybe have some Geneva cocktails or try it in a martini.
Ooh.
All right.
Nifty.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So that wraps things up for us this week, and thanks again to Tim, Guillaume, and Joseph for taking the time to speak to me. We'll put links to their products or their bars in the show notes, and as always, thanks to Sun Little for letting us use his song The River as our show music, and thank you to Emily Dilling who produces and edits the show. And as we've mentioned before, we really want to bring you shows that you find interesting, so if you have questions or ideas or just something you'd like to see us talk about, head over to the show notes. There's a link where you can click and you can send us whatever you want to, whatever thoughts you have about future shows that we should do. We'd love to hear those. So until next time, cheers.